Bhavani Pacharane Nirvasesa Sanyavadi Paskatyade Satara Nivam Deham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shah Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvaditam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shah Panchakalpa Churubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavana Ebyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. January 8th, 2016, Skype class from Hilo, Hawaii. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Brahma's Prayers for the Creative Energy, Text 7. Daivena te hata diyo bhavata prasangat sarva subopa samanad vimukendriya ye kurvanti kama sukalesha lavaya dina lobha bibhuta manaso kushalani shasvat. Daivena, by fate of misfortune, te, they, hata diyaha, bereft of memory, bhavataha, of you, prasangat, from the topics, sarva, all, ashubha, inauspiciousness, upasamanat, curbing down, vimukha, turned against, indriyaha, senses, yea, those, kurvanti, act, kama, sense gratification, sukha, happiness, lesha, brief, lavaya, for a moment only, dinaha, poor fellows, loba abhibhuta, overwhelmed by greed, manasaha, of those whose mind, akushalani, inauspicious activities, shashvat, always. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, persons who are bereft of the all auspicious performance of chanting and hearing about your transcendental activities are certainly unfortunate and are also bereft of good sense. They engage in inauspicious activities, enjoying sense gratification for a very little while. Purport. The next question is why people are against such auspicious activities as chanting and hearing the glories and pastimes of the Lord, which can bring total freedom from the cares and anxieties of material existence. The only answer to this question is that they are unfortunate because of supernatural control due to their offensive activities performed simply for the sake of sense gratification. The Lord's pure devotees, however, take compassion upon such unfortunate persons and, in a missionary spirit, try to persuade them into the line of devotional service. Only by the grace of pure devotees can such unfortunate men be elevated to the position of transcendental service. Daivena te hata diyo bhavata prasangat sarva subo pasananad vimukendriya ye kurvanti kama sukalesha lavaya dina lobha bibhuta manaso kushalani shasvat. O my Lord, persons who are bereft of the all auspicious performance of chanting and hearing about your transcendental activities are certainly unfortunate and are also bereft of good sense. They engage in inauspicious activities, enjoying sense gratification for a very little while. So here Prabhupada is translating prasangat as topics, hearing and chanting. Prasanga means to associate. And here Prabhupada is talking about associating primarily through a hearing and chanting, a conversation where we listen to something and we respond. And all of us are doing this hearing something and saying something pretty much all day long, maybe just mentally. You know, we're reading something in the news and thinking about our response to it. Or we're talking to somebody about something, and constantly there is at least mental talking, if not vocal talking,
and there's some kind of hearing or thinking about it. It's pretty much constant. And Srila Prabhupada talks about this, how even the animals are doing this. The frogs at night, the birds in the day, the little insects, right? They want to know, getting some information and giving some information. And here it's said that unfortunate people, they don't do this in relationship to the Lord, prasanga. It's not in association of the Lord. They've lost their memory and they're unfortunate. Daiva means providence, and it could mean either fortune or misfortune, but in context here, it is misfortune. So this is such an easy thing. Just talk about God and hear about God. Talk about something spiritual, hear about something spiritual, just if you do that. Satam prasango mamavirya sambido bhavantivit karna rasayanam pitam tajyoshana vatpa pravarga bartmini shadaratir bhakti anukramishiti. So if one wants to tread the path and attain to full self-realization and God-realization, the perfection of life, it's all you have to do. Just hear and chant about spiritual things. That's all, nothing else. And yet people won't do it. People won't do it. I mean, it's a question that I've asked myself. You know, how do I spend more time hearing and talking about Krishna? Right? I'll catch myself even with devotees who are talking about some ordinary thing. You know, you talk to devotees. I find myself, I'll talk to devotees and they just want to talk about gossip. And it's not that, you know, like Jayananda, he would just leave. But do I always just leave? And we can think about, you know, what do we talk about? So many times devotees talk just about social issues. I mean, social issues are important. Srila Prabhupada talked about social issues. Varnashram is entirely about social issues. It's not that he didn't talk about it, but it was always directly in relationship to the transcendence. Otherwise, it's simply external. Prabhupada talks about in the Nectar of Instruction in the Prajalpa category how, you know, the old retired men just talk about socio-political schemes. And sometimes it's like that with devotees. You know, you get together with devotees and all they want to talk about is what's going on in politics, either the politics of the world or even the politics in the society of the devotees. Who said this? Who did this? Right? And I know of at least one person who's dedicated his life. He's a devotee, the initiated devotee, and he's dedicated his life to wiping out feminism. And in doing so, he's offending so many devotees. And when people tell him he's offending devotees, he says, "I don't care because my mission to wipe out feminism is so important." And I thought, you know, okay, but that's just a social issue. It's just a social issue. Does this group have freedom or does this group not have freedom? Is this group treated equally or not equally? And who has these rights? And that's a social issue. Whatever side of the social issue you're on, it's all within the realm of illusion. And here you're committing, you know, Vaishnavapara, you're committing the mad elephant offense for the sake of some social issue. Right? Or we just talk about our practical service and, you know, that's okay. We have to talk about our practical service. Again, Srila Prabhupada would talk about, you know, the accounts and selling the books. And we talk about our family, how our children or parents or brothers and sisters are doing, what's going on with our family or our friends. And we have to study about our career expertise. I remember meeting a devotee in Mumbai who works for the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. I don't know if she still does, but she did at the time. And she's an eye doctor. Both she and her husband are eye doctors. And she said, in order to keep up with my field, I have to do a lot of reading in my field. And it doesn't leave me that much time to hear and chant about Krishna. And we have all these things to hear and chant about, right? And if we think about it, if we were to take our waking hours, so let's say we sleep 7 hours a day, and the rest of the day, what are we doing? What are we hearing? And how much of that time are we hearing something that's really about Krishna, Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes? And even if we're hearing about some practical service, are we really relating that to Krishna? You know, just like people out in the world, they have a job, and often at their job, in their office or on their desk, they have some picture of their family. Why? Because they're remembering that they're working for their family. So this devotee who has as his mission to defeat feminism, as he understands it. So he was objecting that one devotee had said that in a marriage, one should serve one's spouse. And he said, this is tricky because it's not saying the woman should serve the man. It's just mutual. And I was thinking, well, of course it's mutual. Even if the man is working at a job, he's working there to maintain his wife. He's not keeping all the money for himself. He's also making sure that she gets what she needs. So people have some little, you know, or big, whatever, or many photographs to remind them why they're working. Why do they have this job? Because they're serving their loved ones. So often we can get involved in service. We're talking about service, hearing about service. We forget who it's service for. We get so absorbed in the details of the service that we forget the person for whom we are serving. And we've given the example many times. You can have, you know, the wife can be cooking, or a hired servant can be cooking, and they can both be absorbed in the expertise, but the wife is thinking in love of the husband, the children, the in-laws, whoever she's cooking for, and the servant is just thinking, how can I cook nicely so I'll get paid? Right? I mean, I used to be a baker in a Marriott hotel. And when I was cooking there, I didn't have any love for the customers. I didn't even know who the customers were. I never saw the customers, very rarely. You know, I didn't really care. I cared about, you know, keeping my job and getting paid. That was my concern. I didn't have any love for the customers. So when you're cooking in your family, then you're thinking, or for your friends, then you're thinking, oh, what would they like? How can I prepare it? Right? We have one of the children here doesn't like potatoes. So on Ekadasi, you have to think, okay, well, what can I make? And that isn't just potatoes, because otherwise, I mean, he's only 8 years old, and otherwise he'll fast, and it's a little hard for him. So we're thinking like that in love, right? So how much of the day are we spending doing that? How much of our day are we hearing about Krishna and his devotees, his name, his form, his qualities and pastimes? How much of the day are we talking about them? What is our percentage? Now, we may even find that in our time spent in very direct hearing and chanting, that our mind is not there. We may say, well, I'm spending, you know, an hour and a half, 2.5 hours chanting 16 rounds. But maybe our mind is someplace else. And Prabhupada said, then it's useless. Said, if your mind is on some mundane subject, then he paused. He said, well, it will take a long time. And Bhanuswami makes the point. He says, if one has become habituated to chanting Hare Krishna while thinking of mundane things, then at the time of death, one may chant Hare Krishna and think of mundane things also. And we're practicing in that way. One may be in the kirtan, singing the various prayers. I'm thinking about, you know, oh, I have a bill due and I'm not sure if there's enough money in my account, or this person said something nasty about me and how am I going to counter that? Am I going to keep my job? And so then you're not really hearing and chanting about Krishna, right? You ever had a conversation with somebody and after the person hasn't heard a word you said because they were thinking about something else? So you can say, well, are you talking to me or not? Hello, you know, are you here? So how much of our day, how many hours a day, do we really spend hearing and chanting about Krishna? And here Lord Brahma is lamenting. He's saying, you know, this is very unfortunate. Very unfortunate if people are not hearing and chanting about Krishna. Why are they so unfortunate? What's happened to them? Because it's such an easy path. That we're all talking and hearing anyway. And Prabhupada talks about this with the mind. He said we're always thinking about something. And whatever we can think about is within the range of Krishna's energy. Bhumira panalova yukamano buddharevacha ahankara bhimva. Everything. There's nothing we can hear about or talk about that doesn't have a relationship with Krishna. We're already talking about things in relationship with Krishna. So just to become conscious of it, so easy. But we're not. So this is some misfortune. It reminds us of the Paramakarna song, where at the end, Lord Chandas Thakur says that I'm not absorbed in Lord Chaitanya because Yamaraj has cursed me. you might think, well, that's kind of odd, isn't it? Yamaraj has cursed you. Yamaraj is a devotee. Why would he curse you that you can't hear about Lord Chaitanya? I mean, what would be the purpose of such a thing? But here Lord Brahma is saying something very similar. He's saying that because of some interest, some pleasure, from very brief sense gratification, very brief, and there's two words here about brief, right? We have lesha, lavaya. Lava is also the lava macha, right? This brief moment of association with devotees, which can give one all success. And we have lesha, so a very, 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 very short amount of time. And for that very short amount of time, one gets punished by Daiva, by providence, by Yamaraj, by the demigods, by God himself. One gets punished that one doesn't have an interest. So what does this mean, that we get punished, that we don't have an interest? Why would we be punished for that? So to understand this problem, let's see, you know, what does Krishna, what did the Shastras, the Sadhus, what do they say on this topic? So Krishna very nicely explains that whatever we hear and talk about attracts our mind. He talks about that by contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. So how do we contemplate? We usually contemplate through what we hear about. Also reading. You know, what are we spending our time looking at, reading, talking about? That's what we're contemplating, and that's what we talk about. That's what's occupying our thoughts. And then we develop attachment. It starts fueling our desires. And from attachment we get lust. The word lust is also here in today's verse. Kama, sense gratification. When we contemplate trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, then we get a desire to do so. But what does that mean, kama? Well, here, indriya, the senses. That means that we're trying to satisfy our senses separately from Krishna. Now, to try to want our senses to be satisfied is normal and natural. We're anandamayabhya sat. We want happiness. But just like in a normal family, people sit down and have a meal together, at least that's what families used to do in the world. I don't know how many people do it anymore, but people sit down and have a family meal together. And everything is served at one time. But suppose somebody goes, you know, right before the meal, and they find, oh, this is the tastiest preparation, and they take some for themselves, and then when it goes to be served out, there's not enough for everybody. So that's not wanted. All the family members want all the other family members to get enough of everything and be happy and satisfied, but within the circle of the family, not separately. Right? If somebody comes, you know, some family member comes, oh, I already ate a half an hour ago. I don't want to eat with you. It's not pleasing. It's not pleasing. You know, this is the whole concept of, say, marital fidelity. You know, the husband or the wife, they say, I don't want to satisfy my senses with you. I have another lover. I'm satisfying my senses outside of the relationship, not with you. It's displeasing. Yes, the husband, wife, they want their spouse's senses to be satisfied, but with them. So otherwise it's an offense. So this is our offense against Krishna, that we're trying to satisfy our senses, which really belong to him, separately from him. Rishikesha Rishikena. There he's the master of the senses. He owns the senses. He created them. He maintains them. He destroys them. They're his. Which of my senses belongs to me? I mean, now that I've gotten older, I need to wear glasses. I don't like wearing glasses. I wish I could see without them like I did when I was young. But I can't, because they're not mine. I'm not in control of them. They belong to somebody else. And that somebody else can manipulate them as he wants. So it's a kind of stealing, isn't it? Right? To take something that's somebody else's and use it for your own purposes. And when someone does that, then we become a little withdrawn in our relationship with them. You know, if your husband has an affair, then you're going to withdraw emotionally to some extent. You may even divorce him completely. You know, if some guest comes to your home and they steal your things, you're not going to let them into your house. You know, if they steal your car, then they come again, you're going to hide your car key. This is just natural. So because we are stealing from Krishna, therefore, he's covered by his yoga maya. Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante nirvana. People who, they can't surrender to Krishna, they can't even see him. Krishna says, I'm covered by my yoga maya. They can't access me. And therefore, Rupa Goswami says, the chanting doesn't even taste sweet. You're chanting, chanting, chanting. Oh, this is boring. When can I finish my chanting so I can watch the football game? And then anger. From lust comes anger. Oh, this process doesn't work. And what are you trading it for? There's the famous story in the Bible of the eldest son who was very hungry. And so he traded his right of inheritance for a bowl of porridge. And that's basically what we're doing. Lord Brahma, I mean, think of from Lord Brahma's perspective, how brief our sense gratification is. Our whole lifetime is 8 billionths of a second of his lifetime. Our 1 year is a tiny moment. So, you know, we are enjoying something for a half an hour or an hour. And Lord Brahma looks at it and says, for that, you've given up your eternal birthright? Dayavak, which you could inherit, the kingdom of God, eternal happiness? Why are you making such a choice? And he says, this is great misfortune. And that, because of our offenses. And then Prabhupada says here, only by the grace of a pure devotee. Because we've offended God, it's very difficult to approach him directly, especially if we keep offending him. But the devotees can engage us in service. And Krishna is always saying, nityam, always, always be meditating on me. Satatam kirtayantomam, yatantas chadridavritam. Katayantas chamam nityam, nitya yukta upasate, nitya, nityam, satatam, always, nityam. And our acharyas, like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, will sometimes say, this means at least daily, at least on a regular basis, every day. You know, if you can't always be hearing and chanting about Krishna, at least some regular time, morning and evening at least, morning, noon, evening. I'm going to make this time to really saturate my consciousness with Krishna. And then it's really also a question of choosing our association. This prasangat, not just sangha, but prasangat, intense association. Choose who are our intimate associates. And it might not be our family members, you know. We might have family members who are not really helpful in our Krishna consciousness. It might be our family members. Maybe our family members are our best devotee friends. Maybe they're not. Maybe our colleagues at work are our best devotee friends. Maybe they're not. But we should have some intimate associates with whom we can have Krishna katha, real Krishna katha. Something that's deep, something that's meaningful. Sometimes we find that in the Krishna consciousness movement, we're afraid of deep, meaningful Krishna katha. We get so afraid of being a sahajiya that we don't want to talk about Krishna at all. And I've seen this many times. No, I mean, I know of devotees who start getting upset if you talk too much about Krishna book. You know, if you come and talk about, oh, Krishna killed Agastya, they're like, what's wrong with you? Are you a sahajiya? Just talk about what you have to get done during the day. It's very unfortunate. So we need to have some good association, because otherwise, what we hear and chant about, what we talk about, it creates our mentality, and ultimately, yam yam bhavi srambhavam twajachan tekalevam taptame vatikantaya sadatam bhava bhavitaha. It's going to create our next body, creating our future. It's not inconsequential. It's not at all inconsequential. It's not some small thing. I'm spending an hour wasting my time looking at something on the internet, in the news, or whatever, or just gossiping. It's not very important. I'm also getting my rounds done. But no, it's creating our next body. It's creating our future. And it's indicating to Krishna our sincerity also. So not only does what we hear and chant about create who we are now and who we will become, but it also is a manifestation of who we are. It's a manifestation of what's in our heart. So we can go around, you know, superficially, we can get all of the trappings of a devotee. We can learn how to wear a sari or a dhoti and put on tilak, and we can learn all the jargon. You know, we can learn all of the names of all of the great persons and the Sanskrit verses, and we can look really paka to the world. But if we hear and talk about mundane things, if that's our main activity, that speech about mundane things, then it indicates that our heart is still attached to trying to enjoy our senses separately from Krishna. Then we are dinaha. We are poor fellows. Loba adibhuta, overwhelmed by greed. It's such a heavy verse, huh? And our mind is full of always auspicious, inauspicious activities. As Prabhupada often says, you know a sadhu mostly by how they speak. That a well-dressed person can be impressive until they open their mouth and then reveal themselves as a fool. Somebody can be rich and attractive, and this happens all the time with famous people. You know, they may be rich and they may be physically attractive and so on and so forth, and then they open their mouth and say something completely ridiculous and it gets all over the news. Though so-and-so said such and so. So not only does what we hear and chant about create our consciousness, but it's also one of the main symptoms of our consciousness. It's like, you know, you go to a doctor and they can take your blood pressure and your pulse and your temperature. And if you want to know how Krishna conscious am I really, what do you like to hear about? What do we like to talk about? So our cure is to have something regular, preferably always, but at least regular, and some good associates. We should be very careful who we choose as our associates. Again, we all of us have some associates that are not on that level, but who we have as our intimate associate. And these are our choices to form habits. You know, I'm fortunate that I have some groups of devotees where we just talk about Krishna katha. And, you know, I try to make that my priority, no matter how busy I am, that I engage in some Krishna katha with these devotees. We share things from the scriptures, and we talk about Krishna's pastimes and his form and his name and his quality. That's all we talk about. I mean, we very rarely do we even talk about our practical service in the world. And we talk about all of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Dwarka, Mathura, all of his incarnations. So to make some habit, then make that a priority. There's so many ways of doing that. I mean, everybody has to find the way that works for them. Maybe, you know, I read a little bit before each meal. Maybe I listen to audiobooks while I'm driving in the car. I know a devotee that memorized the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita that way. I know a devotee that memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita with purports by listening to a reading of it while she was walking from one class to another when she was in university. So some kind of plan. And really look within our heart. That I'm making these choices. I'm making the choice every time that I speak about something mundane. I am both revealing who I really am and forming who I'm going to be. What do I want? Therefore, right after Yam Yam Bhapi Smram Brahman, Krishna says, Mam Anu Smram Yudhya Cha. Think of me while you fight. Not just, you know, go away to the Himalayas and sit on deer skin. Krishna said that too. But then later he said, Mam, he said, Yoginam Api Sarvesham Madgaten Antaratman. The main point, Arjuna, right, is that manmana bhava mad bhakto majaji man namaskar mame dasya subsakchante. This is the main point. And this main point is mostly in our hearing and speaking. Now, meditation on Krishna, full deep meditation on Krishna is not possible for an impure mind. But hearing and chanting about Krishna can be done even with somebody with an impure mind, even by a beginner. Anybody can do that. So what choices am I making moment to moment to moment? Maybe I have to set up some rules for myself. You know, if somebody really has a problem with watching or hearing or reading, talking about mundane things, then maybe set up a rule. I'm only going to do that after 8 o'clock at night, you know, and then you don't have much time. Or you set a timer, you know, I'm going to take care of the news for only 15 minutes a day, and that's it. Something. If it's something you really struggle with and you want to make a good choice. What do they say? The to-do list and the not-to-do list. And one may have to do it gradually. Okay, I'm going to gradually increase my hearing and talking about Krishna and gradually decrease my hearing and talking about material things. But otherwise, we get what we want. This is the way Krishna works things. He's a very loving God, very loving person, and he gives everybody what they want. And that's the main way we give evidence of what we want. That's the main way we create what we want. It's the main way we give evidence of what we want. What do we talk about? What are we interested in listening to? And if someone says, well, you know, I have this problem. I'm really interested in listening to some mundane thing, whatever it may be. Some person, it's going to be politics. Another person, it's going to be science fiction. Another person, it's going to be, you know, it's whatever, according to our past lives and our modes of nature. And I'm not so interested in hearing about Krishna, I'm not. And then Rupa Goswami says, but just keep doing it. Keep gradually restricting on the material level and keep gradually increasing on the spiritual level. And have that association, as Prabhupada emphasizes here, with great devotees. Now let's say we really did that. You know, we have our Krishna Conscious Society, again, our Sangha. We have the word Sangha here. Suppose we really did that. Suppose within our Krishna Conscious Society, we heard and chanted about Krishna primarily. That even when we talked about our practical service, we did it in such a way that people were reminded of Krishna, Krishna's associates, Krishna's pastimes, and Krishna's abode. It would be a wonderful society. We wouldn't even have to do a whole lot of preaching. Right? We wouldn't have to convince people to join. They would come and see, wow, this is heaven. This is the real heaven. So it's not just a matter of our own personal selves, but it's a matter of the society, the family, the society, the community in which we live. So You should be taking at least steps. At least some step. Okay, what step can I take this week? What resolution can I make this week to cut down on the mundane or to increase the transcendental? Because after all, it's where I want to go. Who of us can say, oh yeah, I'm fine with getting another material body on the earth planet in Kali Yuga? Prabhupada said, do not take your birth again and again in this Kali Yuga. Who's fine with that? Do we like the way the world's going? What choice are we making? Or someone will say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to the heavenly planet. I've done so much. Do we want to do that? And we'll waste our time on the heavenly planet, and then by the time we come back to Earth, then Lord Chaitanya's movement is over. And okay, you get better sense gratification than here on Earth, but it's all just illusion, and it's all temporary. It's not satisfying. We've been there before, certainly. So those are the questions to ask ourselves. At least some progress, something. And every time there's that choice point, what am I going to spend my time hearing about? What am I going to talk about? We'll ask ourselves, where do I want to go? Which path do I want to take? Questions, comments?
Gain more affinity to hear about Krishna. There's a verse I just learned. I just probably should have learned it a long time ago. Many people know this verse. Shushusho shuddhidhanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahat sevya vipra punyatirta nishevanat. O twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva.
So what you brought up just there, according to Raghunath Das Goswami, is the whole root of the whole problem, which I didn't touch on that today. We just really touched on the external. Our hearing and chanting is like the leaves, and what you talked about is the very root. So the very root of our affinity to mundane topics is our desire for fame and honor, according to Raghunath Das Goswami. That is the root. And what is the evidence that we want fame and honor? I was just hearing Prabhupada say this morning, if we hear of someone who's more advanced, or we see someone who's more advanced in Krishna consciousness, or in any way, they're more beautiful, they have more money, everybody loves them, whatever it may be, but even if someone more advanced in Krishna consciousness, do we feel a burning sensation in our hearts, or are we happy for them? So, such is the evidence of whether or not we're motivated by this desire for honor. That's the root of the whole, what we have affinity to hear and talk about. And Raghunath Das Goswami says that the way to get rid of this desire for honor is to give service to a general in the Lord's army. Not just any devotee, but a very great devotee. Why? Because our desire for honor makes us hate those who are honorable, makes us hate those who are great. I want to be great, therefore I don't like the great. And if I'm serving the great, then I'm admitting through my behavior that they are great and I am not. And as I serve the great, and service not just physically, but a mood of service, then we remove this desire for honor, which is what is feeding everything else. It's feeding deceit, it's feeding from there hypocrisy, and from there hearing and talking about mundane topics. So therefore, service to the great devotees, it cuts down this whole thing at the root. Generally, one cannot do that initially, however. I mean, Raghunath Das Goswami, not sincerely, Raghunath Das Goswami therefore takes us deeper and deeper, step by step. So he doesn't ask us to serve the great devotees until we have already given up hearing and chanting about mundane topics, interestingly enough. He just says in the beginning, just serve Radha Krishna. That's his immediate cure for hearing and chanting about mundane topics, is just do some service for Radha and Krishna. Absorb your mind in them. And what he says one will get by doing that, and this is also quite interesting, he says you'll get a jewel of their love for each other. Now, a jewel is something external. You know, it's something you wear. It's external and it's localized. It's not deep. But still, it's very attractive. Jewels are very attractive. And as you serve Radha and Krishna and get this jewel, which is very attractive, that attractiveness will pull one's mind away from mundane topics. And Raghunath Das Goswami compares topics about sense gratification to a prostitute that steals your money. And he compares topics about liberation to a tiger who eats yourself. But once one gets this jewel of love of Radha and Krishna, of service to Radha and Krishna, then one can start to go deeper and work on the deeper problems until finally at the last stage, one is serving the generals in the Lord's army, which then takes down the whole thing, and one is admitted into the spiritual world and into the service of the Swarup Shakti of the Lord. Now, of course, there's some service to the great devotees that has to happen at the beginning, because right in the beginning of Manushiksha, Raghunath Das Goswami talks about serving the Guru and the Vaishnavas and the residents of Vrindavan with unprecedented love. But we should understand that until we're really doing service on the platform of real humility, the other stuff will remain. Is that all right?
That's great. Thank you.
I want to thank you very much for the reminder, which I constantly need to be reminded of.
Candita, your voice is pretty low.
Okay, I'll try to speak louder. Is this better?
It's fine for me.
I'll just write it.
I can hear you. No, go ahead.
I just want to thank you for reminding us about avoiding prajalpa and getting caught up in all these material mundane topics, and just forgetting our, who we should be thinking about is Krishna. I know I'm really guilty of this, on social media. There's just a lot of politics going on, and this is not, it's just mundane and material, and it's going to pass, and it's not for our eternal benefit, and we really don't have anything to do with it. You know, we're spirit souls, and our position is to serve the pure devotee and Lord Krishna. And I just really appreciate that. There's so much of a tendency to get diverted. Thank you. I'll be more determined, to spend time, reading about Krishna, chanting, hearing more, online classes, recordings.
Oh, good. It's very helpful to have a specific plan that one makes, and to make that plan for a specific amount of time and then reevaluate it. This is something Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggests. I've personally found it very helpful to set up some kind of a system where you say, I'm only going to spend 15 minutes a day on social media and set a timer.
That's a great idea.
it's very helpful, or I'm only going to spend time on social media after I finished all my rounds and after I've read a chapter in Krishna book or something like that. And it something like that really helps. So some sort of plan, so you regulate things, and then maybe some quote that you put up that reminds yourself, all right, what are, that this isn't just some harmless diversion at the end of a long day or whatever it is, you know. And try to find the times when we're most vulnerable. Who are the people that are most likely to draw us into these sort of things? What are the places? What are the circumstances? I mean, just like a person who's struggling with some addiction, and then they don't go to the places where people are engaging in that addiction. They don't go to the bar, you know? So to figure that out too, you know, I was, for I think a couple years, I was a member of an online group of devotees that were discussing some very, very important, I mean, really, seriously important topics as far as institutional management. It was a good group, nice people, but I found that after 2 years, we started going in circles. We weren't making any progress. We were just repeating old things over and over again. And I had to say, you know, this isn't helping me. This isn't helping me think of Krishna. I need to get out of this group. So one can notice, you know, maybe disabling certain things or cutting certain things out of our life. And if we're not willing to do that, then regulating them. And you can also reward yourself, by the way. One thing that's very helpful is you make a list of the things you'd like to do as far as hearing and chanting. You know, I'd like to chant extra rounds every day, or meditative japa, or spend a maximum of 15 minutes a day on social media, something like that. Whatever works for you. These are just, you know, and you make that list, and at the end of the day, you can give yourself some reward for that. I mean, even I know one devotee who gives herself imaginary money for that. Seriously, she really does. At the end of the day, she's made a list of what she wants to do, what she doesn't want to do. And any of those things she does, she pays herself an imaginary $100. She really does this. And, you know, at the end of the day, right before she goes to bed, she writes down, you know, only 15 minutes on social media, or, you know, more than 16 rounds, or time spent with the Bhagavatam. And for each thing, she writes down $100. And then she writes down, you know, I have earned 500 mental dollars today. And, you know, Prabhupada talks about, I mean, the Bhagavatam talks about how the cowherd boys were accumulating heaps of pious activities. And Srila Prabhupada talks about, that's what inspired her, and Prabhupada talks about that we're making deposits into a spiritual bank account. You know, and then she makes a cumulative, whatever she's earned before, she adds that to it. Oh, I'm, you know, earning, I've earned 70,000 Krishna dollars. So something where, because otherwise it becomes just a momentary inspiration. We feel inspired at the moment, and then our habits and our weaknesses take over at that time.
Yeah.
You know? So it really needs a plan. It needs to be a plan that works for you. And I remember I've talked about this before. Many years ago, I was at a woman's retreat in New Zealand, which was a lot of fun. 3 days were just ladies. I mean, there weren't even any men serving prasadam. It was really sweet. And they asked me to give a seminar about how to study Srila Prabhupada's books. So instead of doing that, I had all the ladies sit in a circle. We just went around and said, you know, what do you do to study Prabhupada's books? And different people had such different and inspiring creative ways. So if what you're doing now isn't working, talk to other people, get some other ideas, find something that works for you. And if you find something that works for you, for goodness sake, stick to it. You know, do it as a regular basis, no matter how funny it may seem, you know. It may seem that this lady is really funny, that she's accumulated 3 million Krishna mental dollars. But, well, you know, she looks at this every night and thinks, well, I'm a rich lady. I'm rich in Krishna Katha. So whatever it may be, you know, maybe for someone else it's eating a piece of burfi every night if they stuck to their vows. I don't know what it is. Whatever it may be, but a chart where you put a star on it and you see how many stars you've given yourself. Something like that. Dridhavrata, this is what Krishna talks about with Dridhavrata, but make a determination. And you can also not punish yourself for deviations. You can just reward yourself for doing the right thing. That may work better for you, but something in place, and if after a week it doesn't work, try something else. But where we make something, it should be specific. It should be something that's very specific, where, you know, I'm going to reward myself if I didn't spend any time on prajalpa. And each of us has our particular kind of prajalpa that attracts us. Is that all right?
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you so much. And then, you know, just at the end there, what you were saying is that, you know, even with like these mental rewards, specific rewards, stars or, you know, mental dollars or whatever, which is wonderful, but then I was thinking the nature of Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that, you know, by engaging more in these spiritual activities, they in themselves are so nectarian and wonderful. They in themselves become...
Oh, absolutely. But at first it may help to have some crutches.
Right.
Which is why we have in our tradition all these ruts, all these vows. They're crutches. You know, the person who's getting a taste, like Prabhupada said, you're getting a taste for chanting. You don't want to chant 16 rounds. You want to chant 16,000 rounds. You don't need to have made a vow.
Right.
The vow is a crutch. You know, and at the end of the day, you say, did I chant my rounds today? Oh, very good. You know? So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you make a vow for 3 days, and then you evaluate it, then you make it for 2 weeks, and then you evaluate it, then for a month, and then you evaluate it. And at least I found, and many people who try these things find them to be extremely helpful. And after all, you so much relish what you're doing that then you set up a habit, and then you never want to go back again. After a while, it becomes just an automatic taste. So Chris here is talking about how hard it is to get association. Well, I must say that the very things in Kali Yuga that can distract us from Krishna can also bring us to Krishna. And having regular electronic sangha in the modern day is pretty easy. I mean, unless you live in a country where the government blocks everything. But for most of us, getting transcendental sangha is not difficult. A lot of the social media can be transcendental sangha. You know, you can make a group on Facebook of like-minded people that you just talk about Krishna Katha with. You can make an email group, or, you know, a Google group. We have these Skype classes. I mean, there's Mayapur TV. I know one devotee who really struggled getting up from Mangalarti, and I said, Prabhu, you really got to work on this. And he said, well, you know, whenever I get up, it's Mangalarti somewhere in the world. But the positive side of that is whatever time you get up, there is Mangalarti somewhere in the world, and you can turn on Mayapur TV and go to it. Yeah?
That's wonderful.
I mean, when I was going to graduate school, I would usually attend 3 live online classes a day. So I wasn't able to stay at the whole morning program at my local temple, but I'd go to Mangalarti, and I'd come home and I'd listen to the Bhagavatam class over the internet, and then right after that I would listen to the live class from Alachua over the internet, and then a few hours later I'd listen to the live class from LA over the internet. So, you know, unless you have no access whatsoever to a computer or a smartphone, or if you have any access, and getting that sangha, and that sangha can be just as valuable. In fact, it can be more valuable. I just, quite frankly, it can be more valuable. When you're physically in the same location as someone, it's much easier to get caught up in the minutiae of daily affairs. But if you form some electronic sangha where you've made a determination, this is going to be just about Krishna Katha, it's a lot easier in my experience to keep to that. So there's so many groups of devotees. There's groups of devotees that can't japa electronically together. There's groups of devotees that study Prabhupada's books together. There's all kinds of online courses. So depending on what part of Krishna Katha attracts you, what time zone you're in, the opportunities for sangha are, they're practically speaking unlimited. If you want to find them, they're out there. So we could take one more.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Mama Devi.
Hare Krishna, Maharani.
I was just reflecting on what you were saying. I have a comment, a quick comment and a question. When my children were growing up, they would complain about each other's behavior, and I had to stop them and say, okay, complain from 6 to 6:15 only, and if you forget, then you don't get to complain. And it worked.
Wow.
They would never remember to come. Well, my son actually did remember to come at 6. Usually they would forget. And if they would complain during the day, I would say, stop, no complaints now. Complaints only from 6 to 6:15. And it worked.
Oh, that's wonderful. These are all examples of what's called putting the bad behavior on cue. And what happens is then in the absence of the cue, the bad behavior goes away. So that's very effective. And there's a lot of businesses that do that kind of thing. You know, customer service line is open at these hours, and you can call at these hours. So, yeah, you can do that. I mean, frankly, you can put even your prajalpa on cue. It's a great way to reduce it. What was your question?
Okay, so on Monday, you made a very interesting statement, and I loved it. Spiritual things do not depend on material things, and your example was bhakti does not depend on varnashram dharma.
Yes.
Varnashram dharma is also then a mundane material thing to be talking about.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Lord Chaitanya said that varnashram was external. What is varnashram? Varna and ashram. Varna is how you make your living. It's your occupation. And ashram is your stage in the life cycle. Are you a student? Are you a family person? Are you retired? Or are you preparing for death? So both of those things, your occupation and your stage in the life cycle, have to do with the material body. They don't have to do anything with the spiritual identity. Now, Srila Prabhupada certainly talked a lot about varnashram, but always in relation to Krishna, and always chaturvanya maya svistam gunakarma bibhagasham tasyakartam apimam vidyakartam aviyam. Always in relationship to Krishna. And Krishna talks about the varnas. In the Bhagavad Gita, it talks about the brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras in the 18th chapter. It talks about the varnas in the 4th chapter. Krishna talks a little bit about the ashrams in the Bhagavad Gita. He talks about a brahmacharya and sannyas particularly. Of course, the Bhagavatam also talks about the varnas and the ashrams. So it's not that any talk about varnashram is automatically mundane, but if it's not connected with Krishna, it's automatically mundane. Whereas if you're talking about Krishna's name, it's pretty hard to make it mundane. I mean, you can. You can sing Krishna's name just to get money. You can talk about Krishna's rasa lila so you can entice somebody to have illicit sex with you. I mean, you can take fully, completely transcendental things and mundanize them. But you can talk about mundane things in a transcendental way, but just be careful that one is. Like this devotee who's, you know, he's willing to offend devotees in order to establish women's duties in the world. That's madness. So if our whole focus is on Varnashrama, then we've missed the point. We've really missed the point. It's like, you know, you can help devotees to have happy marriages. That's good. That's valuable. But if that's all you're focused on, you know, you've missed the boat. Boat's gone and you're sitting on the shore. You know, you can help there to be nice gurukulas for the brahmachari stage of life. But if you're thinking about that outside of Krishna, again, it's all useless. So, Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Srila Prabhupada uses the verse Shrama Evahi Kevalam to talk about if you just stay on Vaidhi Bhakti and never come to Raganuga Bhakti. Hare Krishna. What to speak of if you just stay on Varnashram and never come to Bhakti? So, those are iron rods, things like Varnashram, and you've got to make sure they're in the fire. If they're in the fire, you're okay, but you got to make sure they're in the fire, and you got to make sure you spend most of your time in the fire directly. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.